The Founder Retreat Seminar, Lesson 2, Guru Review. Does anybody have any burning reasons of why we need this seminar? Aside from what Prabhu said and what we put on the board, any burning personal? If not, we can just launch into the next lesson. Okay. So, let's do that.
There would be many more complementary reasons.
Yeah, this is pretty good. Yeah, you can go on and on. But let me see if I can do this. There we go. Guru Review. Any people who never saw Srila Prabhupada know where and when this picture was taken? Who never saw Srila Prabhupada's bhakti? How come I can't do it? There it is, no? Okay. Any Leela? See, we have to, in due course of
time.
Thank you. And you can go there, as I did last September, and look at the new plaque put up by Mayor Bloomberg. Commemorating the spot where the Hare Krishna, it says right on the plaque, this is a sacred tree to the Hare Krishna movement, right?
Yeah.
This is where the Hare Krishna movement started. And then it starts glorifying the tree.
Yes, yes.
Because it's a special elm, kind of elm tree. It doesn't look like this. The landscape has changed, but it's still there. And there's a fence. There's a whole, yeah. But anyway, you must go. If you ever go to New York City, go to 26. Go to the tree. Go to the donut factory. Have the best donuts in New York.
Made by your devotees.
Yes.
And go to Bhakti Center.
And go to Bhakti Center. With cow dung walls. Under Radhanath Swami's guidance. Okay, let's launch into this. Hard as a big apple. Cow dung, only Radhanath Swami. Could have done that. All right. Here we are. We're going to do a quick, and then it gets really, we're going to start to address some questions. This lesson is going to raise more questions than we're going to be able to answer in this lesson. But in the next lesson, the next two lessons, where we focus on the Founder Acharya and Srila Prabhupada, our Founder Acharya, that's where the answers really come. So just be patient, be enthusiastic but patient. And okay. I need three arms. I have three arms. All right?
Yet.
What is a guru? Okay. So when you read the word guru in the press, or you hear it in the radio, or you know, what when people use the word guru? Now, I guess this especially applies to Western countries, maybe even Indian.
It means expert. A specialist.
Exactly the word. Popularly, a person who has knowledge or expertise. I have my sports guru, I have my financial guru, I have my political guru. These are experts. This is how it's passed into the English language. An expert. So far from the real meaning of, the full meaning of guru. Okay, how else is it known, say, what's an example of a guru? Think 11th canto, the Avadhut Brahman, gurus in nature. What's an example of a guru in nature? What does something in nature teach us? Let's see, let's go to the ladies. Got it right?
Tree.
Wow, you are right on cue, look at this. A tree teaches tolerance. So rodapi sahishnuna, I love that tape. It's the low, slow mridanga and Prabhupada stroking the tampura. Anyway, literally, raise your hand if you know literally what the word guru, did I say it right? Guru. Harakanta Manaji, what does it mean literally?
Every tanda prabhu called, every heart.
A person who is heavy with, does it mean, you know, tipping the scales at 300 pounds? It means heavy with knowledge. Yes. Okay, and then finally, what's the full measure of the term guru? Think of a verse that Prabhupada would use to describe
it.
Yes. And here's another one. Why don't you read perfectly what does guru mean?
young Brahmanista, perfectly, a person who has properly received Vedic knowledge and is fixed up in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
And where is Srila Prabhupada? Raise your hand if you know where and when that picture was taken. Ah, we were there in Mahamaya.
Yeah. Okay, actually, sorry, I don't think you...
Where?
Okay. Oh, I can say? Yeah. That was near Vrindavan, 2 days before Janmashtami in 1972.
Wow.
Well, I think it's...
Left down the discourse.
Yes, but I think it was the day of his Vyas Puja.
I thought it was his arrival.
Where?
I thought it was his arrival.
It's hard to say, actually.
I made those comments.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
That's as personal as it gets.
That's primary source. Okay. I take it back.
It was a glorious time. I was there.
Oh, you went wow. Okay. That was probably the biggest festival. A 1,000 people.
Wow.
Devotees, journalists, politicians, scholars have been invited to meet the person responsible for all this Hare Krishna movement. What is this? And there's Prabhupada. So,
Prabhupada delivered a lecture especially aimed at the reporting of the New York Times.
Yes.
And the New York Times was empowered by Prabhupada to write all their right understanding. Bing, 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 bing. And Prabhupada got a copy of the article and said, this should be sent to every temple.
Good. Yeah, Prabhupada was always... spiritual opportunist taking advantage of anything good. Okay. Yes. Yeah, that was it was like a spectacular movie. Like Ten Commandments or what, Gone with the Wind, or kind of what they say in Bollywood.
Epic, yeah.
It was an epic. It was. Okay. But and you can see it on YouTube, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah. Okay, what is a guru?
The concept of can't be a guru if you don't have one. You're not properly initiated.
Say it again?
You're coming in the specific line. You have a guru. You have a bona fide guru who you take initiation from. That's another qualification.
Okay. Why do we need a guru? Can anybody think of a verse? There's different verses in the Gita. Raise your hand. Why do we need a guru? Raise your hand. Okay. And the word for word in that verse, upadekshanti, means that they will initiate. But he's talking about knowledge. Interesting, because as we'll hear later, to be in the disciplic succession, Prabhupada told Janos Dambar, who became Janardhan in Montreal, to accept, to be in the disciplic succession means to accept the disciplic conclusion. This is a shiksha or Bhagavan Sampradaya. So there's nothing on that's very good. That's a seminal verse. Who can think of another verse of why we need a guru from the second chapter? Here again. You have earned the right to read. the first paragraph of the purport.
By nature's own way, the complete system of material activities is a source of perplexity for everyone. In every step there is perplexity, and therefore it behooves one to approach a bona fide spiritual master who can give one proper guidance for executing the purpose of life.
So have you had Arjuna moments? Like that, now I'm confused about my name. Yeah, who's had an Arjuna moment? That's why we're here, right? We've all had Arjuna moments. I had an Arjuna moment when I was 18 years old in an elevator with my father. I said, Dad, and I was really disappointed. I said, this is it? This is life? I'm 18, I'm grown up, and this is it? I was so disgusted by my first year in college. I open up a psychology text that says, intelligence, that which intelligence tests measure. Same old, same old. Yeah, so anyway, I was in an elevator after the first year of college, and I said, this is it? And then my father looked at me with a knowing smile. It wasn't like the Rasa Sunday where, you know, it wasn't like that where Arjuna, his friend, the friend of Krishna, has agreed to surrender to his friend, and then he says, Prasan, Eva Bharata. The rasa changes from friendship to master, because the master is going to say, Ashu, John, you're a fool. It wasn't like that. My father got this kind of strange smile on his face, and he said, yep, this is it.
Yep.
So then I said, what do I do? What do I do now? So what do I do?
Try your best.
No? Now what you do is you find something to do with yourself for the next 50, 60 years to keep from going crazy.
That's what he said.
Story.
So at that moment, I knew there had to be more to life.
Actually, that was a good advice.
That was good advice if you were an existential nihilist.
Don't think too much.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, don't think too much. It'll go even crazier.
All right. So if you don't have a bona fide spiritual master, this is the kind of advice you get. Okay. Now, let's look at how the guru is one. You've heard that, right? Guru is one. It sounds kind of impersonal almost, but how is it true? What does it mean, guru is one? Can anybody cite something from Prabhupada's Vani?
Guru is one.
Well, I can't quote directly, but my understanding is one in purpose, one in understanding. Purpose is to please Krishna, to broadcast Krishna's glories, you know.
You have won the prize to read. Go ahead, read.
The guru is one because he comes in this succession. What Vyasadeva and Krishna taught 5,000 years ago is also being taught now. There is no difference between the two instructions. Although hundreds and thousands of acharyas have come and gone, the message is one.
Yes. The real or the Adi Guru is Krishna, the source of all. Okay, so Guru is one. Point, counterpoint, antithesis. How is the Guru different? Now we're going to explore how the Guru is different. Anybody speak a little from Shastra?
I was going to say that they present the message of Krishna according to time, place, and circumstances.
That's very good. The detail, as Rupa Goswami and Srila Prabhupada say in Nectar Devotion, the details may differ from master to master about how to execute Krishna consciousness. But the principles don't differ. The principles are universal, they're eternal. That's good. Let's see. Any other, how the guru was different?
I was thinking the Rasya Tattva Nihitam Nihitam Guhaya. The truth of the Vedas is hidden in the heart of the devotee. So every guru has his own. He's an individual, he's a person with his own realization of the same truth, his own one. So it's a principle and a person simultaneously.
Yeah, and it's natural that we receive Krishna consciousness through people who have certain realizations about Krishna. Like I tell the story when I first met Jamuna Devi, the late great Jamuna Devi. And I'll save the first story for later because it fits something else. But then the second, after we became friends, well, I'll just tell it again, it's quick. I met her first in sound. Well, we all have, right? I mean, we all did. When she was with us, yeah, Govinda. And then when I met her face to face, it was in South India, and I heard that Jamuna was arriving with Dina Tarini, and then I was cleaning my little bungalow, and then I heard a voice, and the voice was singing, Govindam Adi Purushyam. And I know that voice. It's Mother Jamuna! And she said, Father Sureshwar. And so wise and witty. You know, she just, that remark kind of like bridged the gender thing. The dysfunctional ISKCON relationships between men and women. And then she started to tell me, she said, you know, Sureshwar, we became instant, like, friends like that, in spirit. I have to add that. So she said, there was a time in ISKCON's history when it was really small, but I could tell after just 2 minutes of talking to somebody where they joined, when they joined, who their temple president was, just by their attitude. It's inevitable that our Krishna consciousness is colored, hopefully colored with Vaikuntha colors or Goloka colors, but it's influenced by how we're receiving it. So that's just the way it is. That's just reality. Reality, the beautiful, is infinitely variegated. We're going to get to that in a later lesson. So how is the guru different? Okay, here's what we're getting at by this. So let's out of your misery. Let's see, Shiva Ratri, can you read that?
My role, initiating and instructing spiritual masters are equal and identical in the stations of Krishna, although they have different dealings.
Right, it's like in a family, right? You have a father and you have an uncle. We're going to explore that in a little bit. They're just different. They're one in message, hopefully, you know, they're authentic, transparent. But they have different dealings. And it's like the Shastras describe it, like a family, uncles, aunts, father. Okay. Also different by qualification. Prabhu, what is your name again?
Raghunath
Das. Beautiful name. Please read.
By qualification. A person who is liberated acharya and guru cannot commit any mistake. But there are persons who are less qualified or not liberated, but still can act as guru and acharya by strictly following the disciplic succession.
Yes, there's another letter to Janarda in Montreal. So even Srila Prabhupada, our founder acharya, his qualification is, you know, inestimable. He, in his own humility, he would say, I may not be liberated, but I'm following for the perfect. Because I'm following the perfect, I'm perfect. So there's different levels of gurus also. Okay, and another how the gurus are different. Mahasundari.
My commitment.
Vartna Pradarshika. And that's the reference. That comes from CC. And there's the Vartna Pradarshika is the introducer. And then there's an instructor, and then someone finally who initiates. And usually, Prabhupada says, traditionally, it doesn't happen like this in this kind of often, someone who gives the most instruction ends up being the initiator, right? So that's the kind of a model we have to look at. And that's what Prabhupada wants. He was, early as 1968, he wrote a letter to Hansa Duda saying, maybe by 1975, all my boys and girls will be initiating spiritual masters. That's what he wants. He wants zillions of gurus because there are zillions of people out there. And it's supposed to be intimate. It's not simply, you know, historically, the way things happened has been rather unnatural. And so we have to get back to a more traditional model. And, okay, so, I'll just read a little thing here. Generally, a spiritual master who constantly instructs a disciple in spiritual science becomes his initiating spiritual master later on. So this is an example of Prabhupada saying generally, and he's meaning traditionally. This is the way it works. But it's not the way, or even in Prabhupada's time. Prabhupada delegated that whole mutual examination process between guru and disciple to temple presidents. He depended on his leaders to vet, as we say nowadays, to examine, to investigate the sincerity and the seriousness of a candidate to get initiated. And he just accepted them, you know, based on that. Because he had to. He was traveling all over the world. And he had to, explode the movement. So things were he did things that no one would do or even consider doing, except it had to be done to serve Lord Chaitanya's mission. And then Prabhupada says here, that's the next slide. Here we go. I'm going a little quick. I'm not allowing time for questions so much because in the next two, I know your mind is thinking, well, how does all this work? You know, given our history in this kind. What about this? And what about reinitiation? And what about, you know, if I can't figure out my relationship with my Diksha Guru, don't worry, hold on, it's coming. And here's the next slide. Two Guru disciple scenarios. Okay, now on the face of it, it looks like both are kind of doing dandavas to the spirit, their spiritual master. It's a totally different scenario. Mahaprabhu, do you know what's going on in the first scenario? There is who? There you go. Yes. Oh.
Somehow, this is Lord Chaitanya holding a poem written by Rupa Goswami.
Yeah, what is it?
Well, Rupa Goswami is glorified beyond Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam, because Rupa Goswami understood the heart and mind of Lord Chaitanya, and he specifically expresses on this nice poem about, I think, love and separation.
He did know the mind of Lord Chaitanya. I don't know the verse, but it's pretty famous. You know,
Lord Chaitanya is the mood of Radharani bringing Lord Jagannath and Krishna to
Vrindavan.
Same
movement, yeah, okay. Is it the same? Okay. Yeah. Oh, you don't know.
It's very intimate or intuitive. It's very. So, in other words, Rupa Goswami was empowered by Lord Chaitanya to read his heart. So, by Lord Chaitanya, so much appreciated that this fitting disciple could understand his inner heart, that he blessed him and empowered him to write the great scripture.
Yes. Here's another haiku. First darshan, first time I saw Srila Prabhupada, the haiku goes, golden swan gliding. Five syllables. Golden swan gliding. Almighty humility. Bow, wow, bow down now. So, almighty humility. The thing that made us bow down when we saw Srila Prabhupada in Bapu was that you don't ever see in the material world somebody who has absolute power and absolute humility at the same time. When you saw that, when we were in my case, it was an airport, and I saw these devotees. Prabhupada must be here. And then it happened to me. He gliding up the escalator, Satyanarayan, myself, and Indrajumna at the time, I guess Adhikar. Prabhupada was floating. Golden swan gliding, almighty humility. Something hit the back of my leg when I saw that. Bow, wow, bow down.
Yeah.
Refugee from sex, drugs, and rock and roll?
Of course.
Okay, what's going on? Let's read that. Okay, so there it is. The devotee must have only one initiating spiritual master, which Rupa doesn't mention a ceremony, but he changed Rupa's name, he gave him instructions in Dashashvamedha Ghat, and there he is, Pranipat. Now, whole different scenario on the other side. And this is a segue into what happens when it all goes wrong. And it can. And it happened in Lord Chaitanya's time. So don't think, you know, if it happened to you here. It's unique. Okay. Sorry about that. I've got to get some sleep tonight. Krishna Kripa, what's going on? Can you just start? Who's in the looks like a toga? Wait a minute. What a deer skin.
It's Vamana
Day. Okay, Hare Krishna. Take over for your men.
And it's Vamana Day, and that's Bali Maharaj.
Yes. And why did Bali Maharaj go to Vamana Day? What happened there?
He promised him 3 steps of land. And
yeah, but before that, what happened? Who was Bali's spiritual master before he surrendered to him? Shukracharya, the seminal guru. And what did Shukracharya tell Bali Maharaj?
Watch out. You'll lose everything.
Three steps. His steps are not ordinary steps. Mm-hmm. What was the first step? What did the first step cover? Cover the earth, like Pittsburgh paints. Covers the earth. Covers the earth. Cover the earth. And then second step? Ganga. Puncture the universe. And then? There it is. Tree Vikram. Three steps. Yeah. So he had to reject his guru.
Ooh.
Hurts, huh? There it is. Want to read that, Alan?
If the spiritual master is averse to expanding the fame of Lord Krishna, then the spiritual master must be renounced, and in his place accept a Krishna conscious spiritual master and worship him.
Sri Krishna Bhajanamrita. Who wrote Sri Krishna Bhajanamrita? Bhagavatam. Yes. Do you know Narahari Sarkar? Do you know him? Do you know him? Are you acquainted with him?
I'm acquainted with excerpts of this book. But yeah, those
are a lot of the associates. Do you ever sing Gaur Aarti?
Yeah.
Can you sing the line? Chavaradula. Yeah, so Sri Krishna Bhajanamrita is an amazing text. Where, along with Jiva Dharma, at least as far as I found, it probably gives the most advice on what to do when it all goes wrong with your addiction. So let me read a couple of excerpts, because now we're going to get into a little Shastra. Yes. Well, you have to raise your hand. Here we go. We're just going to get into a little bit here, because as I was telling Gitanagri Prabhu before, this seminar is so cornerstone-ish. It's so foundational to everything that's going on in ISKCON. Our relationship with our founder, Acharya, relates to everything that's going on in ISKCON. So the tendency is we're going to want to take off in different directions with this. But we have to keep going like a train on a track down to the end. But that's okay, because when the students do that, then I know this is the seed of more seminars. So I expect this seminar is going to be the father of more seminars, father and mother. Okay, here is Narahari Sarkar. Now this is Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Listen to this. I'm just going to read a little bit about, you know, what happens when it all goes kablooey with your initiating spiritual master. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is giving two cases, case studies, and it's short. Don't worry, I'm not going to read a lot. First, the disciple may have accepted a spiritual master. This is from Jiva Dharma. May have accepted a spiritual master without thoroughly ascertaining whether the spiritual master was a Vaishnava, practically conversant with transcendental knowledge. Later on, we'll be looking at how to find your mission within the mission, and the biggest mentor in this whole process is your spiritual master, actually. Like one time, a certain sannyasi wasn't giving money to the BBT like other fired up sannyasi leaders, and one sannyasi complained to Prabhupada, he's not giving any money to the book fund. This is bogus. So Prabhupada said, don't you think the spiritual master knows how to appropriately engage different disciples? He doesn't need to give money to the book fund because he's developing a whole farm community. So, I'm just paraphrasing, obviously, but it's like, back off, you know. Don't get on his case. Because he's doing what I'm telling him to do. So, so it may be that we don't engage in this process enough, and we don't know Prabhupada enough to make informed selections about how to choose someone as Shiksha or Diksha Guru who's going to enhance my relationship with Prabhupada. That's what the spiritual masters are supposed to do, and you'll hear more of this when it comes up in the next lesson. Okay, let me just finish this. Later, however, the disciple may realize that the absolute objective, you know, going back to God, will not be accomplished through the instructions of that guru. In that case, the guru should be rejected. Very heavy statement. In the very next paragraph, the Thakur balances it. Here's how the rejection happens. It's not simply some arrogant, you know, turn on your heels, thumb your nose at the person. It's not that at all. Here's it. The second instance, now this is just a balancer, in which one may reject the guru is when the guru was, and he was, at the time of initiation, a Vaishnav conversant in the absolute truth. So he looked good. He might have been good. Right? We've had this in our history. Somebody walked the talk, he was serving the mission, but later on, something happened. But later, due to bad association, could have been, became a Mayavadi, or an offender to the Vaishnavs. I read it ungrammatically. Anyway, if that's what happens, then that guru should be rejected. But then the Thakur says, if the guru is not a Mayavadi, that's a real flaming offense, right? You become an out and out, you know, blasphemer of Krishna, Mayavadi, like that. Is not an offender, is not a Mayavadi, or offender to the Vaishnavas, nor addicted to sinful life. He's still following the rules and regulative principles. Then one should not reject him, even if he has a lack of knowledge. You're just disappointed. Oh, my guru isn't really, can't really, he doesn't know enough to help me. What do I do? Here's what the Thakur says. Rather, showing him due respect, with his permission, one should take spiritual instructions from an advanced devotee and serve that devotee, properly. Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself did this. He had a dispute with his initiating spiritual master, and he took shelter of Jagannath Das Babaji. So this is from Jayava Dharma. Now, it gets heavier and sweeter at the same time, and you can see with Narahari Sarkar Thakur in his Sri Krishna Bhajanamrita, which is a pretty short book. It's only, I think, 70 verses. But it covers some pretty heavy topics. And he's kind of swanning, we say. He's you know, creaming, getting the cream from different scriptures, like the Goswamis did. So he says this in his Sri Krishna Bhajanamrita. Yeah, okay. If the spiritual master acts envious toward that which is connected with the Supreme, things can manifest in subtle ways, right? Envy is a many splendored thing, and we have to be on guard in ourselves and others about envy, you know, subtle gross envy, so we can know who to take some of it from, and shiksha. If he acts envious toward that which is connected with the Supreme, is bewildered regarding the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is averse to expanding the fame of Lord Krishna, personally refuses to accept hearing or chanting about the glorious pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna. This can happen in subtle ways. Has become totally bewildered listening to the false praise of ignorant persons. And day by day is more materially contaminated and fallen. Then, the spiritual master must be renounced. And in his place, accept a Krishna-conscious spiritual master and worship him. So that's pretty gross. I mean, it sounds like, I mean, it can manifest subtly that this person's really obviously gone off track. But we won't know obvious from unobvious if we're not conversant in the literature, in basic shastra. By taking shelter of the strength of the Krishna-conscious spiritual master's devotional service, this means the new person you're taking shelter of, the ill effects or contamination of the demoniac previous spiritual master is counteracted and destroyed. These activities are recommended by all Vaishnava authorities as the authorized conclusions of the Shastra. During the past, listen, here's the last line of the verse. During the pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there have been many practical examples of the above, even in Lord Chaitanya's time. It's not some phenomenon from, you know, as I say, counterculture, refugee, nouveau Vaishnavas. No, it happened in Lord Chaitanya's time. So, I know, for example, when Bhakti Chiru Maharaj says, when he's approached for reinitiation, for example, he tells the people, well, technically speaking, you don't need it. You're already connected to the Parampara. You're already connected with our, as Maharaj puts it, our group leader, as our founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada. You're already in this mission, you're already connected. So technically, you don't need it. But if for this to clear your conscience and you clear your, you know, your head and your heart, if you really want fresh initiation, Prabhupada called it fresh initiation, I saw one. Yeah, then I'll do it for you. If it's going to help your Krishna consciousness, if it's going to help you move on, as you say, you know, make a fresh start. But you're already connected. Because Srila Prabhupada, as our founder Acharya, is already there. But because maybe you weren't educated like that, and you need to feel like you've got to reconnect, no, you're already connected. Because you've already accepted the disciplic conclusion. And that disciplic conclusion is coming uniquely from our founder Acharya, with his unique lens, his unique application. So, and now we're going to start stop there and take questions about that heavy section. The ladies are silent because they're always wanting to be reserved. Except, Mama Maya, are you an exception to that?
Yeah, I only want to be reserved.
You got to be tough in this modern world, right, Nick?
You quote a Prabhupada, fresh start, what's the context?
Yeah, it's funny, I haven't been able to find that in the database. I've read it. This is one of those, you know, beware, red flag when somebody says I read it somewhere, blah, blah, blah. It was a letter that Prabhupada wrote to someone in India, which makes me think possibly he had already had a guru in India and he wanted to reconnect to Krishna through Prabhupada. And Prabhupada's response was, regarding fresh initiation, I am still thinking on the matter. He was considering it. But we're already connected to Srila Prabhupada, and we just have to take shelter of so many people who can help us. Even in Prabhupada's time, when we were all diksha initiated by one person, Srila Prabhupada, he was always referring us to each other, wasn't he? And the one and only letter I wrote to Prabhupada after, here's another haiku. First dakshin. This happened in Moundsville, West Virginia in August 1971. Imagine trying to bake in a dhoti and a shaved head in hillbilly country, Appalachia. Trying to beg dakshin for your spiritual master. You can't imagine how alien this idea is. You know, it took me all day in Moundsville, West Virginia to collect $5. Because they ran from me. So there it was in a polyester sheet, you know, some dhoti in a bright tangerine room. There it is. Shaved skull, orange sheet, begging down Hillbilly Street. $5, absolute. I got back to the farm, you know. I said, "Care not, Maharaj, I only collected $5. He said, "Prabhupada is absolute. Whether you collect $5 or $5 million, he'll accept it. It's your devotional offering." So sure enough, I wrote Prabhupada. He was in London, but it caught up with him in Nairobi. And he said, "Thank you very much for the $5 dakshin." And I asked him a question. I said, "Does the Bhagavad Gita have a specific tune?" I don't know what was I expecting? Was I expecting a cassette tape back, you know? Never occurred to me. But Prabhupada was very kind. And he said, "Yes, the Bhagavad Gita has a specific melody. But you may choose a suitable tune." The next sentence, most important, is you keep the melody very simple. You know, the KISS formula, keep it simple, sadhu. And then he says, he ends the letter with, "You may take further directions from Kirtanananda Maharaj." He was always referring us to each other to train us that this is the process. Guhyam akhyati prichati, you know, inquiring confidentially. Doesn't mean inquiring just about, you know, gossiping. Guhyamata Kathy Prasthiti is supposed to be inquiring confidentially about Krishna and how to advance in devotional service. That's not Gramya Gata. So that's just one letter, but I think of that letter, you know. He told me I could use my own, you know, creativity, but he also cautioned me, you know, keep it simple. If it, the melody is a way to access the mantra. And there's a one letter from Mukunda Maharaj to George. Because George had said publicly that, you know, the mantra is a way to access the music, you know, the mantra. So Mukunda read that, and he said that, and then Mukunda wrote him a letter. He put this in his book, Miracle of 26 Second Heaven. And he wrote a letter to George Harrison, and he corrected him. And then when they finally met a couple of years later, George brought it up. You're Mukunda, you're the one that set me straight. It's not about the music, it's about the mantra. So Prabhupada was reminding me, you know, don't get hung up in the music. Okay, music's nice, but focus on that mind and soul delivering sound vibration, which is the words of the Bhagavad Gita. Sarva Upanishadu Gavo Dugda Gopalanandana Parto Vatsak Sudhir Bhukta Dugdam Gita Amritam Mahat. This is my favorite Gita Mahatmya from Chandracharya. The Bhagavad Gita is just like a cow. And Lord Krishna, who was a cowherd boy, is milking this cow. The milk is the essence of the Vedas. The wise men, the great sages, and the pure devotees are to drink the nectary and milk. Bhagavad Gita. And if you go to Udupi, you see a mural of this, where the sages are around the drops coming off the calf like Arjuna. Anyway.
This is no less than Shankaracharya. The chief of the Mayavadis. Yeah. He was actually
the top of
the Lord Shiva covered.
Talk about time and place preaching atheism. Okay. Yes, let's take more questions and answers about this very sensitive topic of guru-disciple relationships. When it's right and when it's wrong.
Well, I don't know if it's
appropriate. Well, don't worry because we'll answer it later. If it's inappropriate, we'll answer it in later lessons once we've gone through.
No, it's about the fallout of gurus.
Well, what's the norm? We're going to be so busy glorifying Srila Prabhupada. If it serves a purpose of teaching a lesson without mentioning...
But I feel sick of the discussion. So I'm not in accord with what I'm going to say. I'm playing the devil's advocate.
Okay, devil. Here's the devil.
Okay, so...
You didn't change it either.
So if there's a risk of my guru falling down, why should I even bother?
Yes.
It's an obvious question. Why not, just connect with Prabhupada and I'm safe and secure there? I have no more worries.
Okay, so everybody understand the question? if it's dicey post SP, Srila Prabhupada, accepting it as a spiritual master, why even bother? And if he's my foundational guru, okay, whole class discussion, why? Go to your body, he's. Here. Well, it doesn't reach. Can you project? Unless you want to come up. Come on here.
Yes, just like Prabhupada wanted perpetuation of the disciple succession.
Yes.
And that is why he told his disciples to initiate.
Yes.
So obviously, the parampara has to continue. There's no example of one taking initiation from the parampara guru.
Yes.
So.
Correct.
So. And the way it works, because still the question is, yeah, but wait a minute. I don't want to get betrayed and heartbroken. The way it all works is under the aegis, means the Greek word, means protection, of the founder of Acharya. He is the group leader. He is the... That's our core identity. We're Prabhupada Nugas. My core identity, again, I'll say it again, is not that I'm Prabhupada's Diksha disciple. That's not my core identity. It's that I'm his Shiksha follower. He lives forever by his divine instructions. And the follower lives with him. We all have that identity in ISKCON. We're so lucky. There's just junior and senior. Yes, Prabhu.
Sorry. I just want to share something I
found. Okay.
There was one devotee, Prabhupada was given seminars in the Radha Damodara Temple. And I think it was the next door devotion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 72, October, November.
When they came out of the temple, the particular devotee had a question. Parishanta asked when he said, Prabhupada, we are unless somebody gets initiation.
Less what?
Unless somebody takes initiation,
mm-hmm.
he can't advance.
Right.
And then he goes on, so we're distributing all these books, millions of books all over the world. And hardly, you know, compared to the books, hardly any of them are getting initiated. So why are we doing this? And Prabhupada, he explains, because Prabhupada looked him straight in the eye and he said, anybody who reads my book, they're initiated.
Yes, in a sense. Because what does it say in the books? You also have to go through that rite of passage. So both things are there. Whenever we make a statement, there's always other things around it. We just read it, Gita 4:34, Prabhu brought it up. Upadekshanti, te jnanam. Upadekshanti means they initiate. That transference of transcendental knowledge is the heart of the initiation. Still, we have to, at some point, between Shraddha and praying, go to Bhajana Kriya, go through a public rite of passage in front of the sacred fire. You know, Vishnu is a sacred fire in front of the Guru, in front of the Vaishnavas, in front of the deities. But yes, I'm committing. I'm going to make your order my life and soul. So we still have to do that too. As Prabhupada would sometimes say, we are not unceremonious. To do that, to not do that, is called niyamogra, when we neglect. And to just consider the ceremony as the whole thing, and now I'm liberated, that's niyamagra, when we just go by externals. So we have to walk this golden line, this razor's edge, between niyamagra and niyamogra. So yes, the essence of initiation, given by the Sanskrit, is the transference of transcendental knowledge, and Srila Prabhupada himself, after he met Saraswati Thakur, said, Sam, I accepted him immediately, not officially, but in my heart. 1922, Alta Danga, Calcutta. It wasn't until 1933 that he formalized the relationship because of the way his life went. That was just the way he went. There's no rush to judgment on this. There should be no rush. And there should be no aversion to it either. We have a story about that later on in the seminar about, and you probably, and the case scenario that I will bring up is probably going to be very familiar to you, because post-Prabhupada, many people who don't take initiation because of the history of ISKCON, but still Prabhupada and the previous acharyas enjoin us to. So it's a question of following the process correctly. Under the protection of the foundational guru, see the problem. Yes?
Sorry, I'm going to ask a question now, but it's too detailed, and I can deal with it later.
We'll defer, yeah.
Is that the whole process of the instruction or the band, the instruction of our founder channel, that's how we're moving forward and progressing?
Not just, it's the instruction, but also we need the examples of how to apply those instructions. If it's just the words without knowing how our founder Acharya applied them in his own life and in developing ISKCON, that can get very impersonal. And if we just know the personality, if we just tell Prabhupada stories, but we don't know the instructions or follow, if we could follow them, that's sentimental. We need all of Prabhupada. We need the complete person Bhagavad, book Bhagavad. So that's a big kind of theme of this seminar. We have
part of the teaching. My point was, if the focus of the main chunk of it is the band,
mm-hmm.
we seem to be stressing an awful lot on the joining the ceremony, the initiation ceremony.
It's like a marriage. We're going to get into the acharyas, how they can compare it to a marriage. 20 minutes, or whatever it is, I do, or a whole thing, whatever, however the long the ceremony. That's simply an official recognition of what should have already taken place in the heart. But it is a public avowal of vows, a commitment before the deity, the fire, the guru.
Surely that's something personal between you and your woman, or you and your man, or you and your crew. Really, I mean,
yeah,
the ceremony, this public thing, of course it counts. I mean, that's why God said we have to do it.
Yes.
But the
huge the heart of it. Of spiritual progress is obviously the Vani, which comes through Prabhupada's books, the behavior.
The relationship.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. And we have to know what really that relationship is before we do it. And of course, it's just the beginning. We learn more and more and more as we go on. But we really, there's no rush to judgment on it. There's no rush to judgment. I mean, there's too often, you know, peer pressure to just to be initiated. And there's too often resistance to it, based on fear and ignorance and misconceptions and mistrust. That's why we need to be educated.
I was going to ask a question to you about this rejection of guru, accepting another guru.
Mm-hmm.
Often I've heard from people that the fallout of the guru is incredibly complex. They're caught between kind of a rock and a hard place, because in many ways the guru is very brilliant and very wonderful in many ways. Then they find out he's flawed. You know?
Yeah.
So it's they don't want to reject him. They want him to correct his flaws.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is then they can't ever say to their guru, I want you to correct this flaw. Because if you say that to the guru, then they can't handle that. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you're talking historically in ISKCON, but in Sri Krishna Vajinamrita, there's more.
Yeah.
And it says, you should confront. You should confront, you know, correctly.
Well, you confront the guru and he doesn't accept what you say.
Well, then, what to do? But
who are you to tell me?
Now we're talking ISKCON history.
Yeah, and that's what so many people have gone through. Who are you to tell me?
All right, so that's something we have to look at and we have to correct. And I can tell you, the good news is, I mean, I was at this closing ceremony last night, and the theme of my little two-minute thing was how I've always prided myself on being, you know, part of the loyal opposition. You know, just putting the leaders under under my lens. But now Prabhupada's pushing me, look, Sri, you get off the, get off your armchair and be part of the solution. You know, step up to the plate, take responsibility, give shelter, receive shelter. So, now I lost my train of thought on how that connected. But,
we were discussing who are you to tell me that he wants.
Yeah.
The subordinate should not think arrogantly to correct his teaching.
Yeah, but if it's done in the right mood, in a humble, non-envious mood, then if the person is qualified, then he'll, it's a relationship. It's like somebody finds out their husband's cheating on her, or the wife, and then they're confronted. Depending on the relationship, it can be repaired or it can't. It's very personal. Even if the spiritual master is very qualified, and even if the disciple, prospective disciple now, say we're in this mutual examination period, say the prospective disciple is very qualified, it may not be a fit. Even if they're both bona fide, legitimate master and disciple, it's a very personal thing. It's got nothing to do with zones or peer pressure or anything. It's a personal relationship, and we have to move toward that more and more. So, if you have that thick relationship, very too often we don't. And then we can't even ask the question, right? I can tell you a story about, I'm not talking about Srila Prabhupada, but I'm talking about other people that I felt betrayed by, or who I betrayed. But if you have a relationship you care about, you want to clear it, right? So it's very personal. It's not about formulas. Hare Krishna.
I remember reading Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur say, the falling of devotees or gurus is like falling off a child when they're learning to walk, you know?
Mm.
So I was thinking, all those years of service to Srila Prabhupada's movement, it shouldn't be forgotten. These gurus have done a lot of service to this movement, and they are qualified. So when there's a fall down, it's not a permanent fall down. It's just for the time period, we should just accept it, and maybe they're not initiating them. They are worshipable. They are very dear to Srila Prabhupada.
Yes, and do you hear, can you hear or can you feel as you're speaking these words, people's minds going, yeah, but wait a minute, this is not what I thought a guru was. But that's what a super guru is. That's what a founder acharya is. But Narahari Sakura is saying, you know, don't think these things didn't happen in the time of Lord Chaitanya. They happened all the time. Regular gurus, you know, like I'm moving to Gainesville, Florida, where the Krishna Bhakti Academy is, you know, the Krishna House from Hawaii, moving to team up with Kalakanta Prabhu, who has initiated 9 people at UF, University of Florida. So if I ever initiate, it's going to be, like when he initiates, for example, he says, okay, so I'm initiating you, and Srila Prabhupada he's got it. You know, Srila Prabhupada is your foundational spiritual master. I'm here to assist you, serve Srila Prabhupada, and enhance your relationship with Srila Prabhupada. I'm your spiritual master. I'm your initiating spiritual master. And in 10 years, I want to see you initiate. Doesn't necessarily mean they will, but he's making it very clear that it's no big deal to accept shelter and give shelter and become mature in that, mature enough to give it in a formal way. It's a big responsibility. Why do people shy away from it? It's like having a child or having a cow or having any dependent that requires a lot of maintenance. So how does it work? It works under the shelter of the founder acharya, and that's it. But we don't think, when we hear that, you're not telling me, Prabhu, what to do, you know, and I thought that person was as good as God, and you know, but when we sing Sakshat Haritvena Samasta Shastra in the morning, we know that that fits our founder Acharya, who is utterly so transparent with Sri Anamadava. And ideally, the transparency should be all the way around, Diksha Gurus and Shiksha Gurus. But some of those stanzas may not apply to an initiating spiritual master. In the 90s, Niranjan Swami, to his credit, some disciple from the Ukraine, any disciples of Niranjan Maharaj? She wrote a Vyas Puja offering glorifying Niranjan Swami with Nikunja Yuno Ratikeli Siddha. You know, the spiritual master is very much expert in assisting the gopis. So Maharaj wrote a letter, which he made public, scolding his disciple for daring to equate, put him on that level. Now this is wrong. This is nonsense. This is wrong. I'm your spiritual master, but I'm not that level of spiritual master. It's okay. We already have a resident of Vrindavan who is on that level, who is our foundational spiritual master. That's the resident of Vrindavan we can follow. And all Shiksha and Diksha gurus around us, they can enhance that foundation relationship. Let's give Dina Nagris.
And what about the Bruce Yusra David Karama here? David,
you want to give us the English?
Only a person who has the same amount of faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his spiritual master, that he sees them on an equal level, has the same amount of faith in both of them. Only that person are all the hidden. Only to that person are all the hidden secrets of the Vedic literature automatically given.
Yes, what about it?
So you know, it seems like that's an absolute statement.
Yes.
Of absolute faith.
That's right.
In the absolute guru.
Guess what? For the first time in history, the relationship of guru disciple is being made accountable to the absolute order of our founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada. That is our absolute shelter. Okay? And that is Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. And that's why, if you go to Udupi, where the Madhvas are, and if you go to Sri Rangam, where the Ramanujis are, the reason they're so fired up, and the reason they have so much faith, is because the transparent medium of exchange between the gurus and disciples is someone they have utter and absolute faith in. It's Ramanuja, and that's Madhva. And that's how the guru-disciple relationships have to continue in ISKCON, for ISKCON to survive. It's no big deal. I mean, it's a great honor, it's a great credit, it's a great glory to be a regular guru. Why would Prabhupada write in 1968, maybe my boys and girls will be they'll all be initiating spiritual masters by 1975. Did he mean they'll all be founder acharyas? No. He meant they'd be regular guru guys and gals, excuse the vernacular. As Kalakanta says, I'm a neighborhood guru. I got 9 disciples. And I keep asking my godbrothers and godsisters in Alachua to step up to the plate and join me. And they say, well, I don't agree with the present system. It's bogus. And I have reservations too. But he said to me, Sureshwara, you're giving me the same answers my godbrothers and godsisters in Alachua are saying. Why they refuse to initiate. And I'm telling them, that's really nice armchair philosophy. When you're face to face with these students and they're asking you questions and they want a relationship with you and Srila Prabhupada, it's really incomplete and unacceptable just to say, I can't initiate you. They're going to rot on the vine and they're going to go on their sanghas and they won't get Prabhupada's mercy. His special, unparalleled mercy. It's after 1 o'clock, a lot of hands, but when we get to the next two lessons, the founder Acharya, this is really the challenge of the first two lessons because they say a lot of things I haven't substantiated yet by Shastra. And it sounds wild or speculative, but it's all there. The founder Acharya and then Srila Prabhupada, our founder Acharya, we really get acquainted in a very authentic Shastric way of how it all works, the relationship between founder Acharya, Shiksha Guru and Diksha Guru. And it's so satisfying because it confirms what we've already been experiencing. You know, it's really common sense. It's when our knowledge of Shastra catches up to our common experience, our practical experience. Alright? If you want to leave.
So that yasya devi prabhakti or yasya devi prabhara only applies to Prabhupada?
It applies completely to Srila Prabhupada, and it applies as much as a person is transparent to Srila Prabhupada. These are common sense and our common experience. We have as much faith, and they have as much faith in us as we're walking the talk, as we practice what we preach. I think we should just end here, and you know, all these questions that are explode in these first two lessons. Let's give them a chance to settle and be resolved, not by, you know, manic Sureshwar Das, but by Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra in the next two lessons. So, is that okay? Right. Otherwise, we'll be here all afternoon, you know, wagging my tongue.
Can we continue tomorrow morning?
Yeah, well, we will continue. Look at the next lesson. Who's that? That's a Google image of Vyasadeva minus Ganesh and minus the Himalayas. Forgive Google images, they don't know the whole picture. But we're going to get into what a founder Acharya really is. Tune in.
Thank you for doing your homework.
Oh my gosh, there's so much more to do.